All right, Jared, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Yeah, appreciate you having me. Really appreciate you thinking of us down here in Tucson. Appreciate that.
I saw your pizzas on Instagram. I'm like, wow, those look pretty good. And I wanted to have you come on, share your story, like how you got into the pizza business, how you got to Phoenix, because I know you're not from there. But give us a little background before we get like really into the podcast. Like, give us a little bit of like what you do and where you do it.
Sure. Yeah. So we're currently right now in Tucson, Arizona. We moved down here about 3 years ago from the Phoenix area. We were up there for about 25 years, so most of my life. Currently we are operating a kind of a shared space, community space. So we are located inside of a Cartel Coffee, which is kind of a coffee chain that has a handful of them up in Phoenix, a couple in Tucson, kind of some other states, but they basically built out a large kind of community space that had a pizza oven in it. And over the course of the time that I lived here, we kind of reached out to them and were able to kind of strike up a deal and kind of move in. So we actually share a space with those guys, all the kind of dining areas, shared space. So yeah, we get to hang out with some coffee guys and bring the community a little bit of both, you know?
I mean, that when you're making pizzas all day, you need coffee, right? So it's probably a good fit.
It's a beautiful thing to have a cold brew tap. Yeah, two steps away from us to keep the energy high out there for sure.
What kind of pizza do you make?
So we're all wood fired. Got a large homemade kind of all cement and steel rebar with fire brick kind of hand built oven, a little monster in there, about 9.5 feet by 8.5 feet, burning pecan wood and kind of doing a hybrid of, you know, Neapolitan in New York. You know, we like trained in a classical sense of Neapolitan style dough, but definitely like that kind of firm crisp you get from a little bit of different flours that you can utilize in the dough.
Yeah, you guys doing mostly dine-in or is it takeout delivery?
We're doing kind of all three. I mean, pretty much dine-in, but we are operating on a few, you know, Square's made it pretty easy for small businesses to implement into third parties. So we do have some DoorDash Postmates options, as well as like you can order on our website and have a little pickup option, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm looking at your pizza. I'm scrolling through your Instagram as you're talking because you were saying describing your pizza. And the pizza looks fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, definitely, you know, as I've heard, you know, guys before on here talk, it's, you know, the dough and patience, aging, you know, there's definitely some different elements in there, nuances to the dough to kind of make it happen. But yeah, we're definitely, we're enjoying what we've kind of landed on for our recipe right now, for sure.
Where did you learn how to make pizza?
So I was always a front of house guy, bartending, serving in the general managering operations, all that kind of fun stuff. And ended up with a group up in Phoenix who are, you know, straight Italian guys and very passionate about what they do. And were very adamant about being, they love to refer to it as the mama, the papa, the sister, the brother, the cousin. You're going to be everybody. If you work in, you know, working at our restaurants, you got to kind of know how to do everything. And they really kind of threw us into the mix and, you know, taught us how to cook and prep everything in case somebody calls out. You had to be, you know, on the floor and on the, you know, able to kind of bounce around. So we learned from a couple guys up there, and I had a really good friend whose dad had a pizzeria, and I loved what he was doing there, Il Bosco, up in the Phoenix area. And I worked there for free on Fridays and Saturdays and just served and tried to absorb as much as I could from him. And he had just like a really awesome kind of small pizzeria that you know, he was running the front and slanging pies and talking to everybody and, you know, the face of the operation. It was a lot of fun to kind of see him move and shake in there.
You work for free?
I worked for free at that time. Yeah, I was managing at a spot, and you know, what he was doing in there kind of caught some lightning in a bottle, and it was something that I just felt like I needed to be a part of. And so yeah, I would just go serve some tables for him and you know, bus tables, do whatever he needed me to do. And then I was a GM at a spot for the rest of the week on, you know, the other 5 days, and just kind of tried to absorb as much as I could.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a good way to learn, right? Just get, cause the only way you really, you can listen or watch a YouTube video, but the real way you learn is to do it.
Yeah. You know, the last place that I was training at, he, you know, you always had to, if you wanted to eat lunch, you had to make it yourself. And, he had that true Neapolitan, 1,000 degree oven, and I probably roasted my first 15 lunches and just kind of had to be the eat a burnt pizza for a couple weeks straight until I really kind of started to learn it. And yeah, to your point, it's definitely kind of get thrown into the mix and really need to kind of feel it out in order to get dirty in there for sure.
That's great. So your pizza now, how did you come up with your recipe that you have now? Just kind of tinkering over time?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, kind of similar to, you know, we started in 2020. So, you know, I was laid off in COVID in February, and I had a good friend who had kind of a commissary kitchen in a little restaurant, and he gave me a dough mixer to start playing around. Needed something to do when I was off for a little while. And so we started making some dough balls and started making too many for the fridge. So I started handing them out to some friends and started tinkering with some recipes. And then it kind of turned into a delivery service. So we started during COVID just kind of driving around to people's houses and dropping off different kits. They were ordering through our Instagram, and it was a good way for me to get out of the house and still see some friends and drop stuff off at the door. And that kind of evolved to, you know, 400 in a month. And our whole kind of premise was being able to deliver. You know, I worked for the industry up there for 15 years, had a lot of friends that got laid off. And the whole idea was to be able to kind of supply a cooked pizza for some friends that, you know, were struggling and had hard times. So for everyone bought, we cooked a pizza out of a Gosney rock box and delivered some cooked pizzas. And so we were able to kind of catch on with some friends that had some restaurants and support some of their staff and give some kits. And it just kind of evolved over the course of a couple months, kind of right there in the peak of COVID. And then we up and moved to Tucson for my fiance got a job down here, and we didn't really have many other reasons to stay up there. So we moved down to Tucson and found a little trailer online for $1,000 and kind of started popping up on my two off days, went to some beer gardens, started doing some pizza, and started a business in December of 2020 and went all in on my 30th birthday and quit my job and started slinging pizzas on the side of the road.
That's pretty cool. What did the trailer look like? Was it like what kind of oven did you have in there?
Yeah, so we found on OfferUp, it's a 1953 GMC pickup truck that they had lopped off the back of the bed. So it's just the flare side bed of a pickup truck. And somebody previous had converted it to kind of a concession trailer and put a little ice box on the back and a little prep area. And kind of outfitted it with a little bit of I think they were doing pizzas. The oven was pretty crumbled when we got it, so we had to rebuild the oven and tile it up. And we put a little work into it over the course of a summer. And just doing wood fired out of the back of the truck.
That's crazy. How did you get jobs? Is it just like from people you did? I know you said Instagram was kind of how you got business there, but is that how you got the jobs for the pop up too for the truck?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tucson. You know, there's about 900,000 people in here, but it really feels like a small town. And the community just kind of immediately kind of adapted us to it and allowed us to kind of start. They really let us in, I guess, for being new to town. And yeah, this is some different breweries were in need of some food trucks, and like the vending licenses and the permits down in Tucson were a little bit different than in Phoenix. And it became a little easier to kind of acquire some of those vending licenses. And with a couple $100, we were able to kind of start with like permitting and be able to just met a few people over the course of my little job stint down here that owned a couple bars and invited us out there. And it just kind of progressed from there. For many years I've been trying to like almost force something to happen, I feel like, and kind of always trying to get a business rolling. And it was, you know, COVID really kind of allowed us to take a step back and not necessarily expect anything to happen. And I think that kind of allowed for things to really develop in a natural way, which was fun.
Is this the truck right here that I think I just pulled it up on your Instagram?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the Pizza Hound is what we call it. But yeah, that was over the counter was the original name.
Wow. That's so cool. Do you still have that?
Yeah, it's parked in the garage. So yeah, we've now been in our brick and mortar for a year, and we've got some guys trained up and able to kind of start to bring that back out. And so we've been doing some pop-ups, some anniversary parties for some of the breweries that we used to go to. We have one coming up for Dragoon Brewery, which is a great little a local brewery in town. And it's like their big anniversary party in a couple weeks. So we get to bring it out and and still be able to hit the community. I mean, there was a beautiful aspect of being able to drive around town and kind of pop up at different locations and develop different communities in the north side of town and the east side of town and south. You know, you were able to really meet a whole different kind of dynamic of people, and it was great. And that was one aspect I miss about being kind of locked down in a brick and mortar.
Yeah. The truck's pretty unique too, right? So people probably see you drive. Do you drive it? It's drivable, right? So you drive it to the location?
No, it's a trailer. So it's just the back. That's just the truck bed. So I pull it on the back of our truck. Yeah.
But you still see it while you're driving down the street, right? So it's probably recognizable.
For sure. Yeah. We definitely get a lot of smiles and waves at the streetlights and people rolling down the window asking what we were doing and stuff, especially if there's, you know, if we have to get the fire rolling before an event and there's, you know, just some black smoke billowing out the top of it as we drive down the road, it definitely catches some eyes.
That's pretty good. Sure. So when you do those events, do you just charge per person?
Yeah, we have kind of a catering style menu, you know, that ranges anywhere from just pizzas in a buffet style all the way to some appetizers, salads, some dessert options. My fiance loves to kind of bake, and so she makes a really mean olive oil cake and offers some different dessert options for us as well. And we just kind of do a different kind of per head basis depending on the event.
And then for the restaurant, it's like a regular pizzeria menu, right? Where you like, all right, you come in, you order this price.
Yeah, we do mainly pizzas. Obviously, you know, being in the shared space, we really just have an oven as far as like what we're capable of cooking out of. And the prep space is pretty small. There's really, it's a tight little corridor to share two businesses. So yeah, we just focus on pizzas for now and salads. And then we, up until the beginning of this year, we were partnered with, I had met a really great local chef, and we had kind of created an idea to do some pasta pop-ups. So we were doing like monthly pasta pop-ups where we would do it on a night that we weren't open and kind of transform the whole dining experience, and went to a local place and bought a bunch of plates. And I went down to the linen factory. I had an old friend that used to tell me that, you know, the best place to buy silverware was out of at the linen place, at the like linen factory, wherever you're getting your linens done, cleaned at, because there's so much silverware that they throw away. So we went down and filled up a duffel bag for $100 worth and spent a few days scrubbing them clean and getting them back to polished fresh, and had a bunch of silverware and able to kind of crank out these pasta nights. And we just assembled a fun little team of different friends around town that did different things, whether they were, you know, my fiance's a pediatrician, so she'd come down and do stuff. And our other friend, you know, a couple of different tech jobs, and they'd come down and serve tables or bus tables. And we partnered with a great local pastry chef, and he would do all of our desserts on the weekends. And then, yeah, his partner would do dishes, and it was great. It was a fun little night, and we would just kind of switch up the pasta night every night, and the chef would come down, and he would put his heart and soul into it and
that's great.
Create some amazing dishes. Yeah, it was a good time.
It sounds like you're having fun with your business, too, which is like the point of business. Everybody sometimes gets into business, and they're so focused on making money, which is what you need to do, right? Because if you don't make money, you just have a hobby, not a business. But it sounds like you're enjoying it.
For sure. I mean, you know, I think everybody says it. You got to obviously love what you're doing and have fun with it. And, you know, I mean, I think that there's always a sense of monotony to every job of doing it every day or kind of coming in there. So, you know, any way you can kind of bring specials or create, you know, new nights or fun, you know, fun little events for the staff to get excited about and for you to get excited about, you know, it's important for sure.
I agree. How long have you been in the coffee, like the business, in the same business with the coffee place?
So we moved in October of 22. So we're going to be coming up on our second year this October. So we're about like 17, 18 months in.
That's good.
Yeah, it's been a fun partnership. I think it was a really unique situation to kind of find a business that had more space than they needed, you know, coming out of COVID. And, you know, a lot of people were obviously running into that problem. And, you know, kind of being able to help someone who was on a, you know, small food truck with one other employee who was trying to take the next step, and they had a little bit too much space with maybe, you know, a rent that was a little too high that, you know, they wanted a little assistance with if they could get it. And they found, you know, they had some beautiful assets as the oven and some large walk-in and some things that, you know, were able to lend to help another business out. And, you know, they were open arms with creating a deal that, you know, was able to help both of us, you know, however we needed to help. And it's been a fun little kind of situation. I mean, I think there's always a sense of feeling like a ceiling in a shared space like that, and like what you're able to capable of doing and executing and how you want to see your business grow. So I think we're definitely at that, you know, precipice of seeing the business kind of grow to a standard of like, do we need a second location? Do we want to open just a bigger location? You know, where are we at in terms of how we're growing the business? So,
you know, this progression, right? It sounds like you started as a, you know, a trailer, save some money, then you open up a co-working space, kind of like a coexisting space with the coffee shop. And then the next step for you would be like your own location if you're outgrowing it. But there's a lot of, like, that's how a lot of people start, especially since 2020, because it's expensive. I was just at a pizzeria yesterday. So we do these videos on YouTube where I go and visit pizzerias and like show what we talk about on the podcast, right? Because it's great to talk on the podcast for people who are working or, you know, on the road and you can't watch, but it's cool to see your kitchen, right? Like if I could come into your kitchen and be like, all right, this is what we were talking about, like the oven, the setup. And I was talking to him and his kitchen setup, the way it was, it cost $400,000 to set up between the oven, the dough mixer, the equipment, the build out. I was like, wow. So it's a huge investment to open a pizzeria.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. And I mean, I think I've been very lucky with, you know, the friends and family that I've had around me, whether it be on the trailer and, you know, again, my fiance would come out and take orders, or my dad would drive down from Phoenix to take orders, or my mom or my sister would be in town, or a friend was off work and come and want to be a part of it. I mean, it was really, you know, an all hands on deck and an ability to kind of really start something from the ground up with a very minimal kind of startup. But, you know, without having that, you know, support net with the family and my partner, it really wouldn't have been able to happen. But, you know, it's, we've been lucky with the way that it's kind of the small steps. I think I've always kind of had a bigger vision and would get stuck, you know, after the initial idea and never kind of being able to figure out how to execute it or get it off the ground. And so it was, a different way of looking at it and being able to kind of take these micro bites out of each little step. And, you know, now being at the opportunity to maybe open something a little more full service, full bar, you know, have some more staff. I think, you know, we're ready, we're excited. And, I think the time is coming soon for sure.
Yeah. You have some good hours too. Like you're open. I see on your website here, you're open, Saturday, Sunday, well, Saturday, 11 to 8, Sunday, 11 to 6, and then, Wednesday through Friday, 3 to 9, and close on Mondays and Tuesdays. So those are pretty decent hours for you to be able to, like, because I'm sure you're working in the pizzeria probably all the time.
Yeah, it's me, and then I have one other ride or die that I like to refer to him as Benny. He's my go-to right-hand man there. Yeah, it's been the two of us for about 18 months straight. We just brought on another body to help us with the growth. But the two of us there every day, open to close, 2 hours before to prep everything, an hour to close everything down. And yeah, I mean, when we first opened, we definitely had some different hours, and we've tried to navigate the downtown business, what was appropriate for lunch, if it was worth our time to be open that early. So we've definitely kind of like been open to, you know, adjusting our hours as we see the business be coming and going. And being in a bit of a university town, U of A tends to drive a lot of the flow in the downtown area as far as, you know, summertime students are gone. Definitely you can feel that presence missing on the roads. I mean, it's definitely a situation that we see kind of always adjusting. We're definitely going into summer here, which we'll see some changes maybe in some hours, but we try not to kill ourselves, but you know, we're there all the time for sure.
It looks like though, you know, back when I was operating, that's like this schedule right here, I would say 80% of our business came on these hours, right? Like there's a lot of other hours, Monday, Tuesday, the whole time, the afternoons, you know, Wednesday through Friday, and then after 8 on Saturday and after 6 on Sunday. Like if you take out those hours that you don't open, that was like 20% of our business, but 50% of our time. So you kind of just took the 80% of the business you're doing and maximized your open hours. So I think that's smart.
Definitely. I mean, again, it was an adjustment to try to see where the labor was needed and being able to utilize that to the best of our, you know, ability. But yeah, I definitely think that there's a bit of a sweet spot for lunch and for dinner that you can kind of find in your city that you know where you're at. And yeah, I think that we've kind of found a nice little flow for the downtown area for us, for sure.
I think you have to have good pizza, though. Like, your pizza looks good. I think if you're, I don't want to say like a regular pizza shop, like a regular average pizza shop who's just kind of open 11, maybe most pizza shops are open every day, 11 and 9, right? Like, that's kind of like the hours, 7 days a week. 11 to 9, sure. They're open, and they're just competing on price because they all have similar items. So I think if you do what you're doing, you'd have to make sure like your product is good, because if you have a good pizza, it's good quality, I think people will make time to go when you're open versus just wanting pizza at 9:30 and being like, all right, who's open?
Absolutely. I think, yeah, I mean, with the, you know, kind of growth of social media and kind of seeing all these people popping up, I mean, I definitely think that, you know, the regular set of hours is not, for everybody. And, you know, people that are doing sometimes really special things and are on these small teams, you know, patience, you know, at the end of the day, baking and dough related items, patience is kind of the most important thing. And, you know, if you rush the dough too quickly, or you're not getting the right proof or yeah. cold fermentation or room fermentation, you know, all the different nuances that everybody's kind of doing in this space, you know, I think that kind of, it's tough to do that 7 days a week, you know, for 12 hours a day, and be able to have the dough age in the right way and be able to use the product and have it be consistent every time. And I think, to your point, people have, you know, kind of come out of COVID appreciating small batch items, or, you know, local guys that local businesses, I should say, that are really putting forth that kind of effort to find quality over quantity, I think. Yeah. You know, to an extent.
I think COVID too, like that 2020 made it okay to close a couple of days in your restaurant. Before that, everybody was sure. Like, seemed like they had to be open. The customers expected you to be open every day. And 2020 made it be like, yeah. You know what? We can't be open every day. You don't work every day. Not you, but like the regular average 9-to-5 person, you don't work every day. Why should we have to work every day?
Sure. And I think that there's definitely like a balance of, you know, people kind of began to enjoy maybe cooking at home more than they were before. They were forced to do that. And you know, having those Monday, Tuesdays, you know, for the most part, they are the slow days, and having that be the kind of the at home day. And then, you know, at home cooking with the family and being able to go out for the other 5 days a week. I think we found that kind of synergy for the customer as well as for the business owner, for the, you know, for the restaurateur to kind of find those days to catch their breath, as well as, you know, maximizing on their labor and sales throughout the rest of the week. You know, I mean, it's tough to justify paying people to be there 7 days a week if the sales aren't there. You know, I mean, there's a business side of all of it, but, you know, we're here to bring the people what they want at the same time. So that's got to be 7 days a week. We'll figure that out as well.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah. How do people find out about you? Do you have signage at the coffee shop, or is it just like you're there?
Yeah. You know, I would say that that's probably one of our bigger downfalls as of right now, you know, being in a historic building and in a town that really respects its historic buildings. The process of getting an exterior sign is relatively difficult. You know, the relationship we have at the coffee shop, as long-term as we've kind of set the bounds, isn't necessarily something that we've always seen being, you know, this 10-year plan. And so to kind of put an 18-month sign process in the mix was kind of a difficult pill to swallow, not knowing if we were going to actually be there for a full 18 months, which, you know, now we are. So we could have maybe accomplished that, but, yeah, we definitely have some signs on the wall, on the windows. We have some decals. We, you know, we do our best with A-frame signs and getting our name out on the street. But yeah, I think with today, yeah, it's been a lot of, you know, social media presence, I would say. Word of mouth has been very kind to us. And as I said, the community is big but small in Tucson, and it's been very nice to see the way that the word of mouth has gone, for sure.
I don't know if what the coffee atmosphere is like where you are, but like where I am in Boston, you know, people go to get coffee every morning. They have their coffee spot that they love. So I'm sure the traffic to the coffee place helps get exposure for later on if they want to get a pizza later. Like, oh, I go to that coffee place, they have this pizzeria in there.
Definitely. That was a very unique aspect for the first few months, you know, to think about opening a business and the idea that maybe no one's going to walk in the door today. If you're in a freestanding building in the middle of a parking lot, to capture somebody to pull in that parking lot and get out of their car and come inside, that reality, as much as you think might happen, is a stark reality. And so absolutely, I mean, to be in this space where they're selling 200 cups of coffee a day and, you're getting that guaranteed foot traffic that's walking in, and now we're just trying to capitalize or, you know, convert that guest into, a pizza guest, which, you know, not always is it someone coming in at 9 a.m. or even at 2 p.m. that's getting a cup of coffee looking necessarily to get a full pizza to take out to go. But to your point, just knowing that we were in there and them walking in on a Monday and then knowing on Wednesday when they were hungry, I can go get a cup of coffee and a pizza. It's definitely been a very synergistic situation for sure. And sometimes, you know, we don't have a liquor license, which is proven, you know, in those later hours of the day to be a bit of an interesting dynamic to not have beer and wine, but we have an amazing brewery next door to us as well as down the road, both of which allow our menus in there and you can order and take out. We'll deliver it to you guys if you're at the brewery next door, or you can take it to go to the one down the road. You know, so there are some opportunities to still be able to, you know, give that hospitality moment, you know, even if we don't have that product to offer. There's still some chances to still get some pizza and beer if that was what you were looking for when you were coming down.
I'm sure it's not super, I mean, listen, nothing's cheap nowadays, but I'm sure being in a co-space, it's not as expensive as if you were taking over the whole building. So like your profit margin of like, all right, I have to sell, I don't know how many pizzas it is you have to sell a day to make, to like break even, right? But let's say it's like 30. Sure. All right, once you get to 30 pizzas, I'm breaking even. Everything on top of that is kind of profit or goes towards something else. It's probably easier for you being in a co-space than having to do with that all on your own.
Definitely. I mean, I think at the end of the day, yeah, I'm sharing utilities, I'm sharing chemical expenses, I'm sharing linen expenses. Like, I'm not taking on you know, the full electricity bill, the water bill, you know, all of those things. So absolutely, I mean, our break even number is starting a little bit lower than most places if you were taking on all those responsibilities yourself, which kind of, again, goes back to that, like, you know, finding that diamond in the rough of being able to move into this co-space, you know, and again, just taking that next little step while learning all the things about owning a business, but without having to take on maybe necessarily that full sense of overhead, you know.
It could be stressful, right? I bet you it's stressful, like taking that next step.
It is for sure. I mean, you know, we were able to do the trailer as well as this first location pretty much unfunded and kind of, you know, operating it off of very minimal costs. We are looking into, yeah, investments for the next location. And it, yeah, absolutely. Taking anybody's money, friends, families, you know, someone you don't know, it's scary. Yeah, there's a whole other level of responsibility that you're taking on.
As soon as you sign your name to that lease or like the buying of the building, it's like, all right, you have to make it work. You have no choice.
Yeah, absolutely. You're definitely jumping in head first, but, you know, I think you know that going into it, or hopefully you take on as much of, you know, you ask around, you take on as much advice and mentorship and, hear all the stories you possibly can to try to see what you're going to get yourself into, but every situation will ultimately kind of pan itself out differently. And, you know, I think being in this restaurant industry, that's one of the things I love about it is every day is different.
Yeah.
For 20 years, every day of my job has been different, and the people, the interactions, the good and the bad, has kind of all led up to, you know, kind of being able to navigate that on just a different scale, you know, and surrounding yourself with the right people and, putting them in the positions of what they're best at, I think is going to be important to grow, you know, and, hopefully we can find some people that are committed to the brand and being able to, you know, want to see something else grow with it and be a part of something as we grow.
Now, let me be devil's advocate. Why not just stay at the coffee shop and just like, all right, you have pretty good hours for a restaurant. You have great hours, to be honest with you, right? You close 2 days, you're not open. Why not just continue to kind of just do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's, you know, a sense of entrepreneurship of where you want to see your business grow and you do want to see yourself take those next steps and continue to challenge yourself. But, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like I began to see our brand change. I think that we've began to create a product that I think sometimes surpasses the location that we're in.
Okay.
And, you know, there's some moments of maybe disappointment on my end that I watch a guest walk in the door. Maybe they went on our website, they saw our Instagram. And I think that we've been able to portray maybe a slightly larger brand than what we really are in the reality of things as you walk into a shared space. And so, you know, at the 7 o'clock hour, when you see this couple walk in the door, thinking they're walking into a full service restaurant or a true date night kind of experience where they're going to get maybe a glass of wine, have a dessert, really sit there and enjoy themselves for a few hours. And they immediately kind of walk into this coffee shop with the sign, and they see us in the back. And I mean, we've done a great job making it cohesive, but it just isn't necessarily, you know, I think our brand has been able to grow in a way that maybe doesn't exactly reflect what the experience is now when you walk in the door. And I think that being able, you know, with my background of being front of house and hospitality, you know, I think we're missing the mark sometimes on the counter service side of stuff. And I think that we're able to bring, you know, the atmosphere of this community that we safe space, if you will, this really, you know, come in and hang out kind of opportunity that we've created with the coffee shop, I think is going to be a fun dynamic in the sense of a full service experience and being able to offer pastas and some appetizers and some desserts and, highlight some other local vendors in town. I think you just see that opportunity, and I think we're absolutely wanting to stay downtown, and I think that the demographic and what we're able to do down there is important. But I don't know.
I get it. You like being where you're at, but like you see potential, and like when you're an entrepreneur and you see potential of like, all right, what it could be if you had your own space and could do it exactly how you wanted to do it. Sometimes it's hard not to want to do that.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think, you know, I guess what I was getting to earlier is that I don't feel like I'm able to give the guests exactly all of what they want when they walk in the door right now. And I feel like we're able to do that. But we just aren't, physically able with the restraints of where we are in the location. Like we're capable of making a great pasta dish. We just don't have a line to be able to produce that or whatever the situations are. And I think that it's exciting to try and get to another step where we are able to give the consumer everything that they want when they walk in the door.
That's so cool. This has been fun. I appreciate you kind of hanging out with me here today, doing the podcast, and your Absolutely. Instagram does look great. Like I suggest everybody go check it out. It's on Instagram. You are Penelope.woodfired. For Instagram. Yep. And then your website is PenelopePizza.com. And I'll link all that up in the show notes for this as well. But is there anything else? Like, do you use Facebook or any TikTok or anything like that?
No, we just have those two platforms as of right now. We're hoping to expand as we bring on some extra bodies and allow our bandwidth to grow in that sense. But yeah, we're just on Instagram and on our website. Yeah.
That's smart. Just start. You do a good job. Your photos and videos on Instagram look great. So if like, that's all you have the bandwidth to do, at least you're doing a good job on that one platform that you are on.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. We're trying our best.
Yeah. So don't go anywhere yet. Anything else that you want to shout out? Like if someone wants to go in the Tucson area, where should they go to say hello? Just your website. Is that the best place?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, come down to our brick and mortar location. It's 210 East Broadway, downtown Tucson, right behind Rialto Theater. Obviously, as we've discussed, you know, it's inside the Cartel Coffee location. So if you see either a Penelope sign or a Cartel sign, you found the location. And then otherwise, yeah, feel free to message us on Instagram or send us an email. There's a link in our website to be able to kind of shoot us off a little question or anything like that. We're happy to answer or you know, be a part of any special events, anything fun like that, you know.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jared. I appreciate you joining me on the podcast. This was fun, man.
Thank you very much, Bruce. Yeah, I appreciate your time. Thanks.